in 10 seconds. And yeah.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And good morning once again, everyone. I am not in the Lake Wissota studios. Pat hid the key. I was going to go in there and do the show from Lake Wissota, but I'm from our Bull Falls radio studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. In downtown Wausau, I'm Chad Holmes. Pat is off this week. Today and tomorrow, I am substituting for Pat. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Todd Alba, who truly has a busy week, he'll be sitting in the morning as well. So, again, great to be with the statewide audience. Real quick, Greg, before we get to the weather with Brittany, yeah. How many stations are we with here on Up North News? I'm just curious. Do you have any idea?
Many.
I shouldn't throw a curveball at you this early in the morning. I'm just used to being on one station between 8 and 10 a.m. On my program here on Bull Falls Radio. But I heard that big booming announcement there. Yeah. It's like across Wisconsin. I'm starting to get a little nervous here.
Well, I know that. So we're up and around your area. We're up by where Pat's at. I know we're down here in Waukesha as well. You can hear it if you're listening to us. Which, by the way, just like a side note, point of order. If you want to listen to the show, regardless, even if you don't get us on your radio, you can download the Civic Media app. It's fun. It's full of frivolity. It's free. The three things I love the most.
There you go. And the thing about it as well, if you fall in love with me here during these 2 hours, I'm on for two more hours after 8 o'clock. You can just keep on listening to this smooth voice between 8 and 10 a.m., which is only heard here on Bull Falls Radio in central Wisconsin. But with the magic of the Civic Media app, you can take me wherever you want.
And if you could mildly stand me, I'll be back around 10 a.m. for Matinee on Air with Jane Matinee.
My favorite part about the app is that if you're driving anywhere in the state and you change to different stations, you can hear my different forecasts for where you are and what's happening while you're moving around the state. So that's the coolest part.
See, look at this.
The app numbers have just gone through the roof here in the last 2 minutes.
Yes.
You're going to say, what happened here?
Yeah.
All these people downloading
Civic Media, wet that whistle. Where's that coin? Come on.
Right. All the cool kids are downloading the app right now.
Hey, do you like the apps? I love the apps.
And people are wondering, who's that other voice? Well, of course, it's Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist. And the cool thing today, Brittany, and tomorrow, is I get to talk to you twice.
Yes.
I get to talk to you here in the Up North News program, and then I get to talk to you again during my program coming up a little bit later on. So it is double the fun here today and tomorrow.
Yeah, it sure is. and double the temperatures, too.
I know. We've been talking about this quite a bit, but I'm looking out the window right now. It was dark before. Now I can actually see some light as the sun has been coming up. I see some clouds out there. And it does appear that we're going to continue to be unwinter-like. And, of course, this week is the Birkebeiner. I think that Todd is actually going up there to a broadcast from northern Wisconsin later in the week. I hear they're bringing in snow because Mother Nature is not providing the snow, but it appears we're going to be still well above normal as we start off the week, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And in fact, I actually traveled up to Northwest Wisconsin and I went to Lake Superior this weekend and I checked out the snow conditions and the ice on the Great Lakes as well. And it's pretty sad. It's scary to think that it is middle to end of February and Hayward had zero snowfall. In fact, you had to go to Hurley to see just an inch or two, which usually their snow is piled up past their mailboxes to the street signs at this point. So a wild winter, unfortunately, but a mild one for us that hate the colds, or if you get aches and pains and you hate dealing with it, but Yeah, today we're going to climb back into the 40s for a lot of us, low to mid 40s for further to the south in the state. Some mid to upper 30s in northern Wisconsin. Right now you're sitting in those single digits. So that's a huge change. Very cold into the northern part of the state right now. But as we go through our day, more clouds than sun, especially in the central parts of the state, because we have a front that's just going to be hanging over and it's not moving for today. So that's going to bring some cloud cover, but no rain, no snow, nothing like that. And then tomorrow, the front lifts through the states and we pop into the 50s and even the mid-50s into Wednesday as well before we get hit with a little chance of rain and then some cooler temperatures for the weekend. But I was looking for big snowstorm chances or any big cold snap, and it does look like we have two storms that want to hit to close the month out.
It's like, I know we want them and we know we need them, but I'm also like, really?
I know. It's like, well, if we haven't had them already, might as well just roll into summer. But
yeah, right.
Exactly. I mean, we get to the point where even if we get that foot of snow, within a couple of days, we're going to hit one of those. Because if we get to the month of March, all of a sudden those temperatures get more consistently above, you expect them to be more consistently above freezing. So it's just going to cause us trouble for a day. It's not really going to change anything in terms of getting those snowmobiles out at this point of the year. It's almost as though winter is almost like in the rearview mirror, as amazing as it is to say on February the 19th.
I know, it is crazy to say. And I would say for snowmobiling, a big chunk of the state, yeah, that's probably in the rearview mirror. But Hurley into the UP, I still see lake effect turning on and I still see a decent accumulation. So maybe we could still close the season out strong and give those businesses some of our money because they need it. That's for sure. Oh,
no kidding. And as you said, going up north a couple of weeks ago, I went up to Superior for a broadcast and we're on the bus and I just keep waiting to see the snow because every year we go up there and it's like, as you said, I mean, it is up to the top of the bus. And this year it was like a trace by the time we got up north. I mean, it is amazing. And again, we have to blame El Nino, right?
Yes. El Nino is the main driver for this. But I was looking at the Great Lakes ice coverage because we've hit record lows right now. And I was looking back at the strongest El Nino years, and they have never even come close to this. Like the strongest one was in 98, 97, and it was 25% ice coverage. We're sitting at right now 5%. So,
oof. It's
just, yeah, yeah.
Crazy. Well, Brittany, and I will talk to you a little bit later on this morning. So hold all those thoughts, and we'll do it all again in a couple hours.
Sounds good. Have a good day, everyone.
Bye.
That is Brittany Merlot joining Pat each morning here at the top of the second hour of the program, giving us the weather information around the state. And it's been just crazy this winter. I mean, again, you feel for this. They count on her to be able to continue to be in terms of, Craig, am I still there? Can you hear
me? You're kind of clipping in and out there, but I'm catching.
It's weird. I've never had this issue before, and you froze on me here.
Oh, and you're freezing on me. This is weird. And it's not even cold outside. That's odd. That's odd.
Our internet here, so. Oop. Here. What? I have no idea what's going on here. Why am I having an issue?
Well, while you're doing that, I can do some. We got Roger Frost here who left a comment on the live stream. It says, today is the first sunset in Wausau after 5:30 p.m., which, I mean, in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing daylight savings time again. The Congress couldn't vote it away, so we're doing it again. And then Rob Lehman says, good morning from Tigerton. It is 13 degrees, a very beautiful sunrise. Congratulations to the Tigerton Tigers boys basketball team. They win their first conference championship since 1970. And he also gave us a compliment by saying these stations have excellent news, weather, and sports coverage. So, yeah, we rock.
What we like to hear. Yeah. I hope that this connection gets filled in. I get all nervous whether I'm here in studio or whether off doing games or anything like that, where you're all worried about these signals kind of going in and out. Again, here in this, I have no idea. I've never had this problem before. Pat Kreitlow throwing some.
He's throwing a spanner in the works.
Some trouble from wherever he is here. I don't know, but
he's like Loki. He's a little trickster. Pat Kreitlow's a trickster.
Want to remind folks that coming in a few minutes, we'll be joined by American Medical Association director on Up North. Been on my program. He's a guy that I respect so much because he tells me of these visits to Madison. He'll go into office of some of the GOP members, the state assembly and the Senate. I'm thinking, you do it. But yet he's got this innate ability to look at a picture, to be able to say, okay, I might be able to get everything that we want and maybe even need, but we're going to move the rock uphill just a little bit. Keep moving that rock up there. And I know he's working on some of the issues going on with the talk to Tony Gonzalez coming up here in just a couple of minutes as well. And I want to remind you that tomorrow I'll back as well, sitting in for Pat Crow here on Up North News Radio, as coming up at 6:20 tomorrow morning. Another terrific guest I've had on my program a number of times, C. Stencil. She works, she's actually helping to work within the 7th Congressional District, a large area of North and Central Wisconsin, to be able to try to close the numbers in terms of a candidate. It'd be difficult for the party in a number of years since Dave Obey retired from that seat. Talking to about that, and also environmental issues. She's very big into the mining issue and very important to talk about that as well. That'll be tomorrow morning at 6:20. And then at 7:35, I met the 7th Congressional District. And Tom Tiffany is the current holder seat in the United States Congress, in the Democrats running against him, and there'll be a primary cup in the summer. And one of those candidates, the 7th, Kyle Kilborn, will be guest coming up at 7:35 tomorrow here on the programs. We're going to talk Tony Gonzalez, the American Hispanic Association, coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. Sitting in for Pat Kreitlow today and tomorrow is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media.
All right, here we come back.
And welcome back. Up News Radio, the Civic Media Radio Org. I apologize if we are having some issues on my end here, the internet. I'm at our downtown studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, sitting in for Pat Crowell today. I'm Chad Holmes, and hopefully Tony Gonzalez can hear me. Tony Gonzalez, American Hispanic Association. Tony, can you hear me, number one?
Yeah, I can hear you well, but you fade out every once in a while.
Hopefully it's just a bubble here the last few minutes. But number one, Tony, again, thank you very much for joining us. Always appreciate to be able to talk to you and be able to find out some of the issues you're working on. And again, glad you could join us here early on this Monday morning.
Thank you. No, thank you again for having me on your show and Pat's show.
Well, earned a vacation for Pat. Tony, the last time I talked on my program, I think it was, I don't know, a month ago. Time has been these days. You were telling me about some work you've been doing in Madison. And one of the things I still respect about what you do is as I've talked about earlier on this program, that some people are a kind of a person. You are able to trying to move ice back up the hill slowly but surely. And can you talk a little bit about your, obviously, get things done. You're going to be able to make important strides on very important issues, just starting with immigration, then going to so many different areas. You work with law enforcement, you do so many different things. Can you tell me basically your philosophy on what you try to do when you went to meet with members of the state led members of different organizations? That's just basically your mindset going into, I think, very important discussion.
Well, again, you're breaking up a little bit, but for what I got from you, the mindset. I think that most of all, a very good friend of mine that was former Senator Petrosky, he says, you got to touch the heart. You got to approach people individually and touch the heart, make them see how, that there are things that are beyond politics and more about, let's make some common sense, things that are good for our community, for our state. And so that's been my approach. I've gone to a lot of, in particular for these bills, a lot of Republican legislators because they are in the majority. And, talk to them personally because really, oftentimes we assume that they are well-rounded on the issue. And actually, oftentimes we find out that they're not, they have been listening to the same noise that whichever extreme is talking about. And they forget about that middle where we all live and that we all want to share with our community. So basically, on this particular issue, talking about these bills that are helping DACA recipients, the main thing is that they understand who DACA recipients are, and also the benefit that it will be for this state, in particular these times where, we need so many professionals and we need so many people that are bicultural, bilingual, and that can really contribute and that are coming out of our schools, live in our communities, work with our families, work with our kids, go to school with our kids. So, this is the time to show the good people we are as Americans, regardless of party.
And Tony, and again, frustrating because I'm hearing some of what you've been able to, what you were saying as well. I caught most of what you were able to say. Also, you had told me that in terms of the process, that you had some news to share. I wanted to find out exactly what's, because the last time we talked, you were still talking about being close in a number of different ways. What were you working on and significant news that you wanted to share?
Oh, yeah, you bet. Absolutely. This is great news. And it develops actually tomorrow. Finally, we had talked about four different bills that we had. The first bill we had was a bill that would allow DACA recipients to apply. And I want to make sure people understand this, to apply to law enforcement. That doesn't reduce any of the requirements. It just allows them to apply. They'd have to qualify like anybody else would have to law enforcement. Then the other bill, two bills were one, in-state tuition for DACA recipients, because we talked about it in the past. You go to other states and they receive that in-state tuition. Remember, these are individuals that pay taxes, have a social security, are in a status here in the country. The third bill was one that it's going to go through pretty soon is allowing them to have professional licenses through the DSPS. And the last bill was a tax credit for the $500 that they pay every 2 years. So really the strongest one right now is, we had good news last week. On the police parity bill, we had 14 votes in the Republican caucus and we needed 17 because they'd like to have the majority within the majority. And so we had a couple other senators join in. So we believe we have our 17 votes and that bill is going to the floor tomorrow. in Madison. Mm. So we are very excited about that. You know, we've had like several conversations. I've learned so many things about, you know, the process of when a vote goes onto the floor. But we are very confident and very hopeful that this will go tomorrow. There is support. This is the best thing about it. There's a great support, a bipartisan support. Obviously, you know, you still get some of the people that want to ignite fires, you know, where they shouldn't and have no reason to. But I believe that we have the majority and that easily tomorrow on the floor, on the Senate floor, with the Republican votes and the Democratic votes, we will well exceed the 20 plus votes that, you know, we need 17, but we'll probably be way over 20. And this will give us a pathway actually to the other bill that we did have moving was the one with the professional licenses. And that gives us room to get a hearing in the Senate and have that bill probably done before this whole session is over. So, you know, we are very excited that we'll come out of this session with two very, very big wins, not for the Democrats, not for the Republicans, but for the state of Wisconsin and these individuals that so much deserve it. Pat is frozen.
I am going to have an information update here, Tony. What I'm going to do my Wi-Fi while we get news, weather, and sports, and then we're going to come back and hopefully whatever this issue has occurred in a number of minutes, we can get rid of them. So, again, we're talking to Tony Gonzalez of the Hispanic Association. We have news, weather, and sports coming up, and then we'll have more here on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Radio Network, I'm Chad Holmes. Hopefully everything is now smooth as silk here as we continue on this Monday morning, joined by Tony Gonzalez, American Hispanic Association. And Tony, something that always impresses me as well is the bipartisan aspect of what you're doing. And again, people, and the thing about it, people say they want certain things, and whether it's bipartisanship, whether it is things to help the workforce, whether it's, you know, all the things that you're trying to accomplish. And one thing I wanted to kind of touch on real quickly again that I hope, and I told you during the break that we, I was having these little issues hearing what you were saying, but one of the aspects over the number of months is your work with law enforcement in terms of maybe there's misperceptions, I think, with in terms of what law enforcement wants from some of these issues, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I think overall, the vast majority of different police associations that I've been dealing, whether it's the Wisconsin Sheriff and Deputy Sheriff's Association, the Chiefs of Police and Deputy Chiefs, you know, the overall work from them, they want to do things that are positive. They want to include change. They want to include good relationships with the communities that they serve and everything. So they understand how important these bills are to be more representative of, again, the communities where they're at. So I've talked to sheriffs, deputy sheriffs, chiefs of police all over the state that have done an incredible contribution. They have made calls to their Senate leaders and everything to make sure that these bills go through. Whether it's talking to the Senate Minority Leader, Dianne Hassebein, to make sure that this vote goes nice and smooth tomorrow, or whether it's on talking to Senator Lemahieu. They really have expressed their want to have this. And again, you know, I mean, this, I'm very fortunate that a couple years back, I was able to work on the law enforcement task force that Speaker Voss had, because a lot of those relationships actually and connections talking to different law enforcement stemmed from the people that I got to know at that time from both sides. And so it's been fantastic. It's been really good to work with our law enforcement locally here too. The support has been fantastic. They're really looking forward.
You also mentioned that some of these bills that are being worked on not directly involving immigration. I'm going to kind of turn it on the head a little bit here.
Yeah.
We need to have some things done that are directly involved immigration. How do you look at the process of going from the smaller steps, which are very important steps, obviously, to taking, and I would call it almost the courage for some of these folks, I think, that know better, to be able to be a little stronger on certain things that should be done, not just for the betterment of those that are looking for pathways or just more clear immigration rules that will lead to better lives for them, but for better lives for all of us, as you talk about, and we talk about the workforce issues and these other issues where there can be positives in so many different ways. But yet there's this feeling out there, I think, that if you talk about major immigration reform, people back off a little bit. How do we go from where you're working, I think, on issues that are part of the solution, but for people to actually say, okay, we're going to really dig in and find ways in all the ways that can make our area, our state, our country better by being a little more comprehensive?
Well, I believe that we really have to stop thinking that these extreme thoughts are going to be what's going to solve immigration. On one side, we're not going to let anybody in the country and we want everybody out. That's ridiculous because, you know, the number is 11 million. And if by their wishes tomorrow they woke up and 11 million people disappeared, I don't know where they're going to get their food, their milk, or how much they're willing to do. That's not going to happen. That's a ridiculous thought. And on the other hand, to allow everybody just come through a massive immigration process, it's also hurting because people are not getting vetted the correct way. We need to meet in the middle. We need to focus on what we need to focus on, what is a danger and what is a benefit to the United States. So we got out of this 11 million people that are already here in the country. There are several people that have been here for many years, have contributed. They got ways to show that they have. In particular, you know, we're going to say these DACA recipients. They are people that that never committed a crime. They were brought up by their parents as little kids. Like I say, I always give the example. If I take my 7-year-old child, put her in the car and drive to Madison, she has no choice but to come with me. So they didn't commit a crime. They've only known this country as a country. So what we need to do is really start really focusing on what we need, make sure that we are providing a way for those that earn it and have deserved it, regardless of the fact that they one time came illegally. You know, we have the parole system, the police system in the United States. People commit crimes, and then you negotiate to work it down and make it better for everybody. We could do the same thing in immigration and make sure that we focus our resources as little as they are in stopping what we need to stop at the border. And overall, because, again, remember, the bigger number of people that are here illegally didn't just come to the border. They flew in. But, of course, the visual of the border is what they like to show, you know, because it's a lot easier than just having a camera running at the airport. You don't know what's coming in. Right. So we need to get to the middle. We need to really encourage and support members of both the Democratic side and the Republican side that are really trying to do something positive and not just catering to the extremes of their parties. That's what we need to do, because otherwise we're never going to get nowhere.
Again, we're talking to Tony Gonzalez, American Hispanic Association, here on Up North News Radio on Civic Media. Something else you've talked about within the bills you've been working on is the incredible vetting that is done in terms of the background checks and basically combing through every aspect of the lives that of the people that are either to be put on the police force or along those lines as well. And I think people need to understand how far they're willing to go in order to be part of, I guess you can call it, the American dream, a part of the American society. And do you find that, how would I put this, that that's enough for some of the folks that seem to push back on any kind of changes that would lead to whether it's more immigrants on police forces or just general immigration changes? Because it does feel like a lot of people are bending over backwards to try to make it work, and yet there are others that it doesn't really matter to them. Do you find that this matters to the people you're talking to?
It matters. It matters. I have had the fortune of talking to many people, and mostly on the more conservative side, about, you know, who DACA recipients are. And, you know, I'll quote Representative Mako from the Green Bay area. He's the author on the assembly side of the bill, and he's a Republican. And he tells, I'm sold. I know that these are good people. I know that they go through more rigorous overlook than any U.S. citizen were. You know, matter of fact, for equal opportunity as far as work, people that would get vetted that way, they'd probably complain saying, hey, what's going on? Why am I being so scrutinized? You know, DACAs are willing to go to this. They're willing to show what their worth is, and they have no problem with it. So obviously also, you know, it's so confusing that the whole immigration package is given to all of us like a big old bundle, you know, and obviously people don't know the difference between the different statuses with an asylum seeker or a DACA person or a refugee. And that needs to be broke down and understood, so we know better who is and why they are coming, and also what they are willing to do to become a U.S. citizen. And so, that's been a very important factor, and people change minds. But on the other hand, there are some that just really, to me, it's pure hate and pure narrative and pure stupidity, really, to really vet out every single one, that America is only for Americans. Right. You know, we know that that's not the way it is, and that's not what built this country.
One line you just said when you were talking to one of the representatives, then he said, these are good people. That's important. Yes. To have that said, because I think a major part of the problem has been those that have said, these are not good people, that somehow they're all criminals, which is so wrong. To have some people, I would call them courageous people on the right, to tell the truth that, yes, there are bad people all over. You know, there's no perfect people, but the great majority of those that are looking for a better life for themselves and their families, they are good people. And that needs to be said more often, doesn't it?
It needs to be said. And like I said, that's the problem that we had some years ago when, you know, unfortunately in America, if I speak Spanish, I don't speak Spanish, I speak Mexican. Everything from south of the border on down is Mexico. So when things got said, they included every single one of us all the way to Patagonia, all right, that every Hispanic was bad. Well, that was a terrible way to put things, and it's never been clarified. Is there bad people? Are there concerns currently? Yeah, there are concerns. We got people that are coming that we wish to weren't here. The very own Hispanic community here understands and sees that and would like something to be done that is more fair. But yeah, it needs to be said that, I mean, if people wake up, open their eyes, and just walk onto the farms and understand, like through COVID, who were the essential workers that stayed on the fields and worked and put food over the table, they'll understand these are good people, people that have values that are very similar to American values, and want to be and contribute and be a part of the fiber of the society.
And we need them. I think you said it again, for the things that we need. For all Wisconsinites and all Americans, we need a robust immigration policy. And also, we need these people that want to be here, that want to be part of what we're building within our state.
And very important to say there, Chad, that want to be here and want to take on the American way of life. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that one loses your identity. You know me for years. Many people know me for years. And many people know that my origins are Colombian. And I tell you about my culture. I show you about my culture. But when we're out, everybody together, we all live as Americans. There's not one flag, but the U.S. red, white, and blue that covers all of us. I don't separate from that. My culture and everything is separate from that, but that's a gift that I bring and anybody else brings for the riches of America.
And I guess finally, in our last couple of minutes, I'm going to go back, kind of circle back to where I started with you. The idea of getting things accomplished. I started the show this morning talking about no's, about how yesterday Devin LeMahieu said no to the medical marijuana bill that Republicans have put out, no to counting absentee and early ballots in Milwaukee, nothing in terms of, after again, multiple shooting incidents in our country, nothing gets done. Getting things done for you is so vitally important. What piece of advice would you give to others who are trying to make positive change that maybe you found out in your dealings with folks on both sides of the aisle?
You know, I took a class some time ago on negotiating and settling disputes between the people and everything. And they always said that the best resolution is when both sides come out a little dissatisfied, you know, because we have to meet in the middle. We have to understand that no one should or will get everything their way. And we have to respect each other, understand that we may have our differences, but we're still human beings, and this is all for the benefit of our country. So that's what we need to do. We need to meet in the middle.
Tony Gonzalez, I hope if you head down to Madison, it turns into a great trip. Always appreciate talking to you. We'll get you back on my program very, very soon. But again, thanks for us. I'm missing something.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back in 10.
Okay. And welcome back, Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Chad Holmes from our Wausau studios. Bull Falls Radio on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. As sitting in for Pat today and tomorrow, then Todd Alba on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if you're a regular listener to Pat's show on Mondays, here for the final few minutes of the program at 7:50, we're joined by Terry Bell, who is the news director of the Civic Media Radio Network. And Terry, great to have you on.
Cannot hear you, Terry.
Yeah. Terry,
can if you can't you... see Terry right now, Terry's got an awesome beard. It's great. his microphone is on, and he is here to talk to you about three things you need to know. And he loves the band The Old 97s, Chad. I don't know if you know this.
We're going to give Terry a moment to try and reset here as, again, things went so smoothly in the first hour. And then all of a sudden, near the end of our discussion with Brittany, all of a sudden, my end started to
shake a little bit. Are you blaming Brittany Merlot?
No.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Not in a million years. Not in a million years. But it's like, I feel like I've aged about 5 years here in the last 40 minutes.
I didn't have a beard before this show started, so it's weird.
Terry.
Hi, is this looking better? Hey,
it is.
All right.
Technology.
Terry, great to have you on.
Nice to be here.
I tell you, three things that we should know each and every Monday morning. Great way to start off the week. And I tell you, we were talking earlier about 2024. Just wondering, well, where are we going to be at the end of this year? And every week, I think, is going to be one of those weeks you're going to have at least three things you're going to need to know.
Yeah, it's a very busy day today. I'm just kind of putting the pieces together. It would appear as though the governor is ready to sign his MAPS bill into law today. He has appearances scheduled throughout the state. That usually is, and it's about this particular bill in question. Usually governors do not go on a tour around the state to veto bills, so I guess it's safe to assume that he's going to sign them into law. And yeah, so this would presumably take the state Supreme Court out of the equation. There is some speculation that Republicans might sue over these maps, even though they voted for them, because in doing so, perhaps a judge would keep the current maps in place until the matter is resolved in the courts. But there are also a lot of highly placed supporters of the maps say that's just a lot of random speculation that doesn't have a lot of basis. And Republicans deny that they're up to anything.
Isn't that one of the interesting aspects of this story, that there was some talk that the governor might veto his own bill, that Democrats were voting against it in the legislature, mm-hmm. that Republicans were voting for it, but then we're going to be suing to try to avoid having them actually implemented? It is really one of those stories where it feels as though nobody is truly happy, and in some cases, maybe that's a good thing.
Nothing can be simple with this story, for sure. Yeah, the Evers' own maps are actually a little bit more favorable to Republicans than some of the other options still on the table before the Supreme Court. So that's why you have Democrats, I think, wanting the governor to veto his own map and take their chances with the Supreme Court, and they feel those chances are pretty good.
Finally, we do have what you call a major Republican candidate. We've had a few that have been not really involved in the political system on a big way. They've thrown their hats in the ring. But now we have a name that does harken back a couple of cycles when it comes to Senate races.
A reboot, if you will.
Yeah. Eric Hovde, he's run for Senate before, and he's going to throw his hat again in the ring this week. And yeah, as you mentioned, Chad, he would be the first Republican that would mount any kind of serious threat to Tammy Baldwin. There are a couple of candidates already in the race who would be described as marginal, and I think there are a couple who are said to still be considering, who I don't think quite bring the support in the party that Eric Hovde does. So we finally have a race, even though it's been a foregone conclusion for quite some time. He's been doing all the things a candidate does in the run-up to a campaign. So here we are, Hovde versus Baldwin.
And the fun thing about Eric Hovde we need to know is he is throwing that hat into the ring from California.
And his opponents will happily tell you that every time his name comes up. In fact, in Democratic Party press releases, they refer to him as Eric Hovde R-Laguna Beach. So it's they want to paint him as a carpetbagger, and we'll see if that charge sticks.
I do have a friend of mine who I went to high school with who lives in Orange County, California, and I suggested to him, since Eric Hovde has thrown his hat in the ring, that my friend can come back and run for the Senate as well. So he's got a little bit of a connection with Wisconsin. And also, Terry, the third thing, talking about internationally, yeah. And I think we can actually put it in a local context as well, the Navalny net death. Mm-hmm. But I'm still waiting to hear any comment from Ron Johnson. Have you seen anything from Ron Johnson yet?
I have not seen anything from Ron Johnson yet. Ron Johnson made some waves last week when he was talking about his opposition to aid to Ukraine, because he said, and I think his words that I'm paraphrasing were, Putin's going to win anyway, or something to that effect.
He will not lose.
Okay, there we go. So it's... it'll be interesting to see whether the death of Alexei Navalny, Vladimir Putin's most serious and formidable opponent, might spur some more feeling for aid from the United States to Ukraine. There were elections coming up. Putin was going to win the election. He was not going to lose the election. But Navalny was by far the most galvanizing of all of Putin's opponents. And without him, it's hard to say whether, he'll be martyred or whether, the Democratic resistance will suffer because of Navalny's death.
We got about a minute or so left, and I got to ask you, Terry, because you've been covering news for such a long time here in this state.
Sure.
Let me look at Ron Johnson. What's your take in terms of his metamorphosis? Because he does appear to be more willing to really step out on the fringe of his party. And it seems on multiple issues. What's your take on Johnson? Why he has his confidence in moving to the fringe of the Republican conference?
Well, that's an excellent question. I don't know if I have any real insight on that. I do know that he has, as you said, metamorphosized throughout his term. He was pretty much started out as an ideologue, kind of became an iconoclast when he fell out of favor with party leadership. But then once Trump became the standard bearer for the party, he seemed to his good graces were returned. And now,